was up pretty late last night. I was troubled by a rashi. No, I'm down like I'm such a tzaddik, you know, that I stay up late because I'm troubled by a rashi. But, you know, this time I just had been the aliyah of the day of Chamishi. So it's just such a basic term, and the in fact it becomes the term to describe an entire period, and really the second half of the parsha focuses on it, and it's not so clear what the term means. And Rashi says something very curious. The term that I'm referring to is the term milu'in. The end of the parsha deals with the first half of the Parshat Tetzaveh, deals with the various big day Kohanim, the various garments that the Kohanim would wear, and specifically the Kohen Gadol. And then, in the second half, starting with Chamishi, the emphasis is placed on the inaugural period, which took place before the actual consecration of the Mikdash, of the Mishkan. And this took place for 7 days. It's known as the Shivat Yimei HaMilu'im, right? The 7 days of, we'll leave it untranslated for the moment. And this period of Milu'im, right, is termed such, presumably, because the term that Shoresh of Mem Lamed Aleph, to which means to fill, right, is used in several contexts. It's used in terms of Asher Milei Et Yado, right, that the hands of Aaron and his children were literally filled with the korbanot that were being brought and given to them, but there is a specific korban, one of the korbanot, which is brought, and I'm not going to go into all of the details of all the korbanot now, but one of the korbanot, the last of the korbanot of that day, is called the El Milu'im, the Ram of Milu'im. If you take a look at the various translations, you'll see there are a lot of different translations. The JPS translates it as the Ram of Ordination. The Art Scroll translates it as the Ram of Perfection. Not quite sure, maybe we'll see in a minute where they got that from. I'll take the JPS as the simple translation, it sort of skirts the issue. Because it says that the term Milu'im, right, exactly how do you get from the Shoresh to fill, even by the way, when we talk about Milu'im in terms of army service, right, so it's in the sense of it filling the ranks. Right, that the ranks are not quite complete, and now when the reserve soldiers come in, that fills the ranks. So those are the Sherut HaMilu'im, right? They fill the ranks. So the JPS skirts it and says, well, in terms of the purpose, this is an inaugural period, so we'll call it the Ram of Ordination. Most of the Mefarshim explain that this was the last of the korbanot. The term that I used earlier, milui yad, that the hands of Aharon were literally filled. So this was that completing korban. And in effect, the Shivat Yemei Milu'im, the 7 days of Milu'im, can be understood in the sense of finishing. It's almost a finishing school, as it were, for Aharon Uvanav, for them to get used to what it would mean to be running the Mishkan in the 7-day trial period. Halachically, it becomes the model, for those of you who are familiar with the beginning of Masechet Yoma, for the 7 days, also a 7-day period, in which the Kohen Gadol, before Yom Kippur, would would go through a review of all of the korbanot that he would have to be bringing on Yom Kippur. It's a review. As I said, that didn't keep me up late. Then I looked at the Rashi. Because when Rashi, on the pasuk of Eil Miluim, Rashi seems to go in a different direction altogether. Rashi says the following. Shlamim, this korban of Eil Miluim was a korban shlamim. It had that halacha where some of it was eaten, some of it was put on the mizbeach, some of it went to the kohen, to Moshe Rabbeinu in this case. And then he says, Lashon Shlemut. So it's a korban shlamim, which fits the bill. It's shlemut. It's complete. Okay, so far so good. And then Rashi says, Magida katuv shahamiluim shlamim. The miluim are korban shlamim shemesimim shalom lemizbeach ulaoved haavodah ulebaalim. That they place peace between the person who does the work, namely the kohen, between the person who owns the korban and the mizbeach. Now the reason why this bothered me was, while this is a famous drasha with regard to the word shlamim. Right, shlamim. Does the term korban shlamim, does it come from shalem, completion, or does it come from the term shalom, peace? But it has absolutely no place in the context of miluim. Milui can mean shalem. It can mean completion. That's what we just said. But milui does not mean peace. Why is Rashi talking about the notion of korban shlamim in general with regard to the korban miluim? It's a drasha that is not in place here at all. The Mefarshim of Rashi are troubled by it, but they don't really give any answer, per se. And then I realized the following idea. At least, I think that this is what Rashi is trying to get at. What Rashi is pointing out when it comes to this drasha of Korban Shlamim, of that it can be on a perhaps a pshat level completion, and on a drash level coming from the idea of shalom, from peace, is Rashi saying that this is not a drasha which is of an etymological drash. It's not, we're not dealing with a play on words. We're dealing with something that goes to the crux, goes to the heart of what the korban is supposed to accomplish. How do you reach completion? If you talk about completion, and I don't care if you reach completion because you're using the term shalem or you're using the term male, if you reach completion, you need to also strike at shalom. You need to reach a certain sense of equilibrium, a certain sense of equanimity. If you don't have that, then you don't have completion. The korban miluim, the korban which completed Aharon uvanav, had to be a korban shlamim. It had to have this element of peace. We finish the brachot, the brachot of Kohanim, and we say, I said it this morning, and we end it with shalom, with peace. And the Tziv says that without peace, all of the other brachot are worthless. If you don't have that equanimity, then you have nothing. And that's in effect what Rashi is saying. If you want to have a completion, if you want to be able to serve, you have to be able to serve with this sense of equanimity. The drasha today and the learning today is really in the memory of a man who was both a man of shalom, who was a person who was shalem, and a person of shalom. A person of completion and a person of peace. Naftali Michael ben Netanel Rothner, who was a person I had the schut to meet towards the end of his life. He was born in 1910. He passed away 12 years ago at the age of 93. And I met him when I went to Chicago on Shlichut, and he was already in his late 80s at that time. And you meet people at that age, and you don't necessarily know what kind of person they were in their prime. And it was clear at that time when I met him that he was a man, as I said, of equanimity, of a person who had reached a certain sense of equilibrium towards the end of his life. And however, what was remarkable about him is that he was a person who really lived his life in that way, not only towards the end of his life, but throughout his life in his prime. He came to Chicago he was born in Russia, and he came to Chicago in 1920. He was, in that regard, you know, a different kind of experience than many other people who we've spoken about coming out of the ashes of Europe after the war. He was a person who was, you know, coming from the American experience. His youth was the roaring 20s in Chicago, and then the Depression. It was very much an American type of time. And in his life, I Googled him actually last night, and as much as he came up with his work for the Jewish community, which I'll mention in a moment, it was also came up was the fact that he was an entrepreneur and that he founded a small record company which launched several jazz musicians on their way, and that was, you know, something which now if you take a look at it was Clemson Music School, that's what they found Nathan Rothner's contribution to society. He was part of Americana, and at the same time he was a pillar of the community. If it weren't for him, right, there wouldn't be the day school movement in Chicago. He was one of the founders of what is now known as the Ari Crown Hebrew Day School. He was, for many years, he was the president of one of the major shuls in Chicago, the Beit Yitzchak Shul. And a few years ago, I asked a friend and a colleague of mine in Chicago who knew him, a person about my age, but a person who knew him growing up. I asked him to describe him for me, and he said the following. I'm just going to read two sentences and then we'll go. He was an extraordinary man, a balabite of the old style, with class, but without any flash. Then he talked about some of the things that he'd done in Chicago, and then he said he was a gentle soul, did many quiet acts of chesed, and he was a man who had everyone's confidence. He literally was the kind of leader who, when he spoke, people would listen. He was a person who was shalem, and he was a person of shalom. And that is the kind of leader, that is the kind of person that we should aspire to be. Yehi zichro baruch.